Let's pray. May the words I speak, the thoughts we think, and the deeds which come from them be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated? A small child gets lost in a crowd. He's surrounded by a forest of legs, and none of them seem to be the right ones. His dad is beside himself with worry, but when they find each other, he wipes his tears from his eyes. A woman of a certain age is made redundant for the third time. Her debts are mounting, and she wonders if she'll ever have a proper job again. She feels such a failure. She breaks down, and her partner holds her close. Later, he wipes her tears and holds her some more. An old man fondly recalls a teenage summer, crystal clear. But suddenly there's a woman shouting at him, angry. He's left something on the cooker, and the house has nearly caught fire. She looks vaguely familiar. Turns out she's his daughter. "Was that me?" he says. And something makes him cry. Maybe it's the confusion. Maybe it's the shame. And now she puts her arms around him and with the edge of her thumb pushes his sorrow to one side. When someone weeps with you, they're being painfully honest. They've allowed themselves to become vulnerable to you. When someone tells you to dry your tears, it may be because there's more coping to be done. When someone wipes your tears away, it can mean a new day has dawned. In today's gospel, Jesus doesn't physically wipe away Mary's tears. But the episode and the imagery is part of a developing biblical theme that's begun right with the tears of Hagar back in Genesis chapter 21 and ending right at the end of the New Testament, the book of Revelation chapter 21. Central to it all is the resurrection of Jesus. John calls it in his story the first day of the week. He could have called it the third day since Good Friday. But then his viewpoint would have been looking backward, sealing up the Easter event, opening up towards a future. But John, whose gospel begins by an allusion to the original creation, wants to emphasize the beginning of a new creation. Everything is suddenly new. But at the beginning of our story, it's still dark. Dawn hasn't quite come. And the darkness matches the darkness of Mary's spiritual sight. She's shrouded in grief and she cannot see beyond it. But as with any dawn, the darkness will lift. Urgently called by Mary, Peter and a second disciple rush to the tomb. Something about the grave clothes makes them pause. By then, Judaism had been highly influenced by Roman culture. They'd been occupied for maybe 70, 80 years by then. At the end of the meal, the servants would watch out. When the master got up and threw his napkin, his linen cloth onto the table in a crumpled heap, it meant he was finished. And they could go in and clear up the mess that had been left. But if the linen napkin was folded, laid in its place, the message was simply, "I'll be back." John says to the beloved disciple, saw and believed. But yet it's also clear he doesn't quite understand because he hasn't yet learned about the significance of the resurrection. They know in their hearts something of the presence of God's hand and they go home. But Mary remains weeping. Just like Jesus' tears at the tomb of Lazarus, his friend. Her tears gather up all the grief that she and others feel. All that sadness. Angels, we're told, and then Jesus ask her, "Woman, why are you weeping? What are you seeking?" It's a pretty obvious question if you think about it. She's at the tomb of someone she loves who's dead. Not only that, she's found the tomb disturbed. So maybe the question is a challenge rather than an inquiry. Who does Mary think Jesus is? Who did she ever think Jesus was? Was he just another human being? A great one, admittedly. And she'd be right to weep at his demise. Is that who she's looking for? A good man who ran out of options? Or does she seek someone greater than that? Someone, maybe, the Son of God? Mary answers on the surface. But Jesus' questions begin to reopen her spirit. And it's when he calls her by name, when he makes that personal link, that there's instant recognition. Mary, teacher. He's taught her all over again and opened her eyes to a greater hope. The message of Easter is like the rising of dawn. But it's the rising of dawn in our hearts. Of course, our world is still full of tears. Some of us are struggling. You might be struggling at work, at home, in your families. You might be trying to support those who struggle. You might be or know of those who bear their burdens alone. Yet the resurrection of Jesus heralds the first day of a new creation. And it urges us to look beyond our struggles and the struggles of our time. To look with faith and to name those things as temporary, passing. That doesn't make our struggles any less or any less real. Jesus came to us to walk on the path of our struggles with us. And yet, our struggles can simply help illustrate more brightly the power of this new dawn, which is beginning to displace them. So this Easter, let's actively rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus. For it is God, his Son, his power and his salvation we are seeking, and his promise that he will wipe every tear from our eyes. Amen.